person of the Holy Spirit has been standing by them. We thank God for, I don't know what's wrong with this mic, but it ain't right. How about turning it off? Somebody say amen.
Amen!
Y'all go get that mic right for me. I appreciate it. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Get it sounding like this one. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus through Christ. It is good to be here.
Amen.
I want to thank the Mayor Chorus for their song selection.
Yes.
Y'all have already sent out a sermon and a song.
Yes.
Yes.
One of your songs said that could have been me.
Yes.
Amen. It could have been me.
Yes.
Sleeping in my grave.
Yes.
Could have been me shooting heroin in my vein.
Yes.
Strung out on crack cocaine.
Yeah.
Amen. God knows, if not for the grace of God.
Yes.
Somebody say, there go I.
There go I.
There go I. The scripture has been read. We have some work to do. I'm excited about the word that God has given me to share. And for the time that is ours, we will share, hopefully, from Romans 8:28, that is part of our verse of focus, but our real verse of focus is actually verse 22. So as you stand to your feet, as is customary here, we read the Word of God as a family. I'll be reading from the King James rendering. If you have the King James rendering, from Romans 8, Romans 8, verse number 22, we'll read it in unison if you have a King James rendering. 1, 2, 3, read. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Amen. We're going to talk about groaning.
Groaning.
Groaning. Groaning is something that we do when we're in pain. You know, it's funny how God will let you go through something so that you can be a little more effective. These last 2 weeks, I've been groaning. Amen. You ain't ever groaned before. You ain't really ever been in pain. But when pain hits you and you can't do nothing about it, all you can do is groan. My topic is this, from groaning to glory. From groaning to glory. Amen. Subtopic, we know. Pray with me, our God and our Father. It's preaching time. We stand before a few preachable moments. Now, God, we ask that you would give preaching, but not so presumptuous to believe that anything happens, lest you speak. So speak now through these lips of clay. Use them, Father, to say what you want them to say. You know who is here today. Give us utterance in the name of Jesus, we pray. We say this. And Father, we pray that what happens here at Faith lasts longer than what happens here at Faith today. Let us leave differently than when we came. In the name of Jesus, that we might have a God experience. And let what I say be the gospel of your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Even in the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may take your seats. From groaning to glory. I want to begin a series of messages dealing with triumphant living. And this series might be a little bit different because we may not put them all together. They may be dotted out throughout the year. But this will be the first dealing with triumphant living. And I want to share with you, has anybody been having a hard time except me? Other than me. Raise your hand if you've been going through some stuff. That looks to be, somebody raised both hands. Yeah, yeah, you've been going through some stuff, and we want to just share with you for the time that is ours the possibility and reasoning behind what you're going through. There's a reason that we suffer. There's a reason for pain that we experience in this life. And we know that pain comes in many different forms. Pain comes in physical pain. It comes in mental anguish. And it comes in emotional anguish. So there's so many different forms of pain. We can have pain when our children aren't doing right. Come on, somebody. Am I right about it? We can have pain when things aren't going as according to what we expected on our jobs.
Yeah,
we can have pain when we lose our jobs. Come on, somebody. So we want to talk today a series talking about triumph for the living. And in this book of Romans, what you need to know, and I want to say this before I get started. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's what Jesus did. So I want to talk about, first of all, getting into this text. I want to explain what Paul is talking about. Paul is actually discussing here in this text dual citizenship. Somebody say dual citizenship.
Dual citizenship.
So that you can understand what Paul is really trying to get at, it is possible, but it is not advisable by the U.S. to be a citizen of this country while at the same time being a citizen of another country. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
That's called dual citizenship. Now, it's okay until problems rise, like when the laws of one country is in conflict with the laws of another country. Then you got a problem. Look at somebody and say, you have a problem. So what Paul here is actually trying to convey in this text is that just like the citizens that we might know here in the U.S. who hold dual citizenship, we too, as Christians, have dual citizenship. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? I just want to talk to a few folk that know what I'm talking about. Let me prove it to you and let me impact that for you. See, I have been born again. See, I want to make a parallel right here. See, dual citizenship can come in many ways, but one of the ways, without getting too complicated and for the example that's at hand, one of the ways to have dual citizenship is for me to be born into a country while my parents are citizens of another country. That automatically gives me dual, talk to me somebody. I said that automatically gives me dual citizenship. That means if I am from Mexico and I'm born in the U.S. and my parents are citizens of Mexico, I am both a citizen of the U.S. and a citizen of Mexico. Come on, somebody. Well, we have been born again into a new nature. Come on, somebody. But yet and still, we're still in this body. We have dual citizenship. I'm going somewhere with you. Whether you come with me or not. Yeah, I know we have dual citizenship because the laws of one country is conflicting with the laws of another country. Jesus Christ and my faith, but yet and still I'm still in the flesh. I ain't got to somebody yet. I'm in the spirit. I'm living in the spirit, Paul says, but I still got carnal desires. Y'all ain't gonna be real. Can I preach to somebody that when you got up this morning, you meant to do right? Well, this day ain't finished. Let me go back one day. When you got up yesterday morning, you meant to do right. citizenship. I am a citizen of two countries. Heaven is my goal. And I'm just as good as there. But I'm still struggling. Anybody struggling besides me? I'm still fighting. I'm still roaring. I'm still, every day is a struggle. Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord have mercy. I have a new nature. I've been born again, which makes me a citizen of the kingdom. And yet, and still simultaneously, at the same time, Lord have mercy. I'm struggling on the inside. Paul says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. The very thing that I thought I had conquered. The very thing that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all don't. Before I realize it, before I can come to my senses, I'm doing the very thing that I told God I was going to give up. I just need one or two witnesses. That way. I want you to know in this text, in this particular chapter, there's three things that Paul says we have. We're only going to deal with one. First of all, we have the adoption. That's what I'm going to talk about today. We have the adoption. Then we have the assurance. Then we have the affluence. Those things. Somebody said three things. We're just going to talk about the adoption. He had already said in the previous, you should go back and read chapter 8 for yourself. He says we have been adopted into the family of God. Yes. Look, somebody say, you adopted.
You adopted.
You have been adopted. And now, because we are adopted, Paul says that we are children of God. Don't take my word for it. Look at verse 15 of chapter 8. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again for fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. That's ours. That's why we cry, Abba Father. That's why we say, Daddy. That's why we can call on God in the midnight hour. That's why I can call him and talk to him for as long as I want to talk to him. Oh, Lord have mercy. We are children by adoption. So I say by adoption. In verse 18, I said all of that to get us to verse 18. He says, for I reckon. Now, what you need to know is Paul ain't got no country dialect. You know, we heard reckon before, but this word reckon is different. Here he's saying, for I reckon. Reckon here, what you must need to know, in the Greek, is an accounting term. It is an accounting term. Somebody say, an accounting term. What Paul is saying is, you know, think about what Paul has been through. Paul has been shipwrecked. He's been beaten to an inch of his life. He's been talked about, disrespected. No one looked at him. You follow me? Nobody trusted him because before he got his name changed, he was killing Christians. He said, now I don't put all of that. He said, but I reckon. So I said, I reckon. What he's saying, let me show you what he's saying. What he's saying is this. He said, you know, when I put it all together, I'm talking to somebody right here. When I look back over my life, and I see everything that God had brought me through, and if I was to put it He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm talking about the earnest expectation. I ain't got that yet. I want to skip on down to groanings. Woo! Anybody ever groan? Lord have mercy. When I hurt my back, I was groaning.
You know what? You can say what you
But it's hotter now. You can say what you want to. Are you just getting old? You can call it what you want to. This is an unusual kind of heat. This is a kind of heat that will hurt you. Somebody say creation groaning. Yeah. We call it natural. You can say what you want to. The ice caps are melting. The ozone is wearing away. Somebody said groaning. Is groaning. Did you not know that we live in a fallen world that has been cursed?
Well.
Turn to Genesis chapter 3.
Genesis chapter 3.
There's a reason. You got to understand. Before Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't even rain before Noah's time. God replenished the earth with moisture with a mist. Somebody say perfect conditions. They had never heard thunder before. They had never seen no lightning flash.
No.
It was sin. When sin came into a world, it messed everything up.
Hallelujah.
Oh, just look at Genesis. It's right there after Adam and Eve had sinned. Look at chapter 3. You know how it happened. Tree in the garden, look, you can eat of every tree. At one time, y'all, we had one commandment.
Amen.
And we couldn't even follow that. You can eat of every tree, eat of all the fruit, but don't eat of the tree of life. Don't eat this tree. Where we know that the snake beguiled Eve and Eve ate, gave to her husband. And then the eyes were open, they saw that they were naked. Y'all, I need some Bible readers right here.
Amen.
You're going to lose you. Yeah, and then Adam went and hid himself, and then God said, Adam, where are you?
Uh-huh.
But don't think God didn't know where he was.
That's right.
But what he was saying is, where are you spiritually? He knew he had messed up. Adam should have came clean there, but he said, I hid myself, but I heard you come because I was naked. And he said, who told you?
Uh-huh.
Did you eat of the tree I told you that to eat of? God knew that. He asked you a rhetorical question, won't he?
Uh-huh.
And Adam said, you know, then here come the blame game. He says, that woman you gave me. Men, raise your hand. Men, raise your hand. Make some noise, men. We got to stop blaming women. Creation is groaning. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. And to Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. In other words, Adam, because you left the position of leader, and because your woman took position of leader. Somebody say, out of gospel order. He says, because you have done that, that hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground. That right there. I want that to sink in. That's why we have tornadoes. That's why we have floods. That's why it rains in one spot and they get 24 or 48 inches of rain at one time. That's why we have mudslides that take entire villages away.
Amen.
He says it is the result of sin. He says cursed is the ground. We live in a cursed world. Creation is groaning. Hurricanes. All a hurricane is the wind groaning to be what God wanted it to be in the first place. You missed that. I said ain't nothing but the wind wanting to get back to its original state of being. Calm, cool, and collected. Yeah, yeah, when the sun is beating down on your face, the sun is groaning. Because it want to get back to the point where you can put your face in the sun is no longer hot, it's radiant.
All right.
That's a difference. Yeah, yeah, I can remember a time when we would run to the sun. Now we run away from the sun. Why? Because creation is growing.
Amen.
Because it wants to get back to the original state that God first created. He created a perfect world. For time's sake, Paul, let me go and say, Paul said, not only is creation groaning, we are groaning. Look somebody say, you're groaning. You may not want to admit it, but I will say right now that none of us are what we used to be.
Amen.
You can fool yourself all you want to. You can dye it. You can tuck it in. You can cut it off. You can cover it up. All you're doing is groaning. You're trying to maintain an original state of youth that God intended for it to be. That's why he says, behold, I make all things new. Don't we like new stuff? Ah, anybody remember their 20s? Ah, yeah, yeah, I can remember my 20s. You know, we can go back when everything worked. Come on, somebody. For that to occur, I need a ladder. Man, even when I go up on the ladder, I'm a little bit shaky. Y'all ain't gonna be real. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm talking to the one now that when you get up in the morning, you know, one time you just get up in the morning, you pop right up. Well, now you gotta sit there a while. And now suffer. In spite of the disappointment that we go through sometimes on a daily basis, in spite of folk talking about us and misusing our name and dragging us up and down in the mud, we know. And in spite of all of the anguish, somebody had to have an operation, and in spite of the operation not going according to plan, and in spite of my healing process taking longer, we know. Full of trouble. Somebody say there is some good news.
There is some good news.
Look in that chapter. The Bible says that the Spirit. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pulls up alongside of us while we're in pain. While we're in trouble. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost is more than giving us the ability to tongue talk and the moon walk. Come on, somebody. Y'all miss that. You say the Holy Spirit is there just to make you happy? No, the Holy Spirit is there to get in the struggle with us. Somebody say under the burden. Yeah, we understand that poem that talks about footsteps. Yeah, a man was going down the beach and he looked back and he saw two steps. It was certain times in his life that he looked back and he saw only one set of footprints. And he said, Jesus, why did you leave me? Yeah, yeah. And the times that I needed you the most, I only see one set of footprints. He said, that thing ain't yours, they're mine. That's when I was carrying you. In this text, the Bible says that we don't even know what to pray for. Let me explain that. Yeah. I know we think we know what we want to pray for, what we need. You don't even know what you need. You don't even know what you need. No, you really don't know what you need. That's why the Bible says that the Spirit groans with us. In other words, the Spirit prays for us when we pray amiss. We have two people. You want a prayer partner? You already got two prayer partners. You don't even know about it. The Holy Ghost is praying for us. The Bible says that he groans and makes intercessory on our behalf. You go down a little bit further, you see where Jesus is praying for us. Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yet rather, that risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? He's praying for us right now. We already got prayer partners. The Holy Spirit is praying for us with groanings. Let me show you that you don't know what to pray for. There was a church one time that prayed. A pastor got sick. Evidently. Their pastor got sick, deathly sick. And they prayed for their pastor to get well.
Yes.
And the pastor died. The next pastor comes on the scene, not really knowing what's going on. And one woman right there in the middle of the service just said, why did God let our pastor die when we prayed for him? Put him on the spot. And he said, ma'am, I really can't explain that other than we don't know what to pray for. He said, could it be you were praying that your pastor not die? And God was saying, I'm going to take him home because you're not depending on me. You're depending on him.
Amen.
Did you get that? Did you get that? They prayed for their pastor, but God took him home because they were no longer depending on God. They were depending on the pastor. So God took him home to get them back in the right perspective. It's me.
That's right.
God says it's me you need,
amen.
Not me.
That's right.
Amen.
There's one thing this church must always remain. That's Christ-centered.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the day that it's not Christ-centered, I will be going back to Gethsemane.
Amen.
You got to be a pastor to get to heaven.
Lord.
Ain't got to sit up in a pulpit. I get back there in that congregation and be happy.
Well.
Think about that. We don't even know what to pray for. Let me put it to you so a little bit plainly. There was a person one time that they were rich.
Yeah.
And their 5-year-old had, she said, I want a car. I want a car. 5-year-old. I want a car. But the dad said, not yet. Because I'm going to get you a car, but you don't need one right now. She was upset and mad. But did she need a car?
No.
She wanted a car, but she was not yet ready to have a car. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Let me ask you something. What are you praying for that you don't really need? Go back in the inventory of your prayers. And ask yourself, what am I praying for that if I got it, it might kill me?
Come on.
What am I praying for that if I got it, I might lose my salvation?
Amen.
Mm. Say, you don't know what to pray for. That's why it's always good to end our prayers, not my will, but thy will be done. What we're saying is, God, you know what's best for me. God can see the conclusion of the matter. He's Alpha and Omega. Beginning and the end. He knows what the result is going to be. So stop worrying about what you didn't get. What you didn't get, you probably didn't need. Stop thinking about what didn't happen. What didn't happen probably was the best thing that did happen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Dual citizenship. Dual citizenship. I hope you understand now why the sufferings of the world is going on.
Yes.
We live in a messed up society. You turn the TV on now and people are killing one another.
Amen.
Husbands are killing wives and unborn children.
Yes.
It's bad.
Yes,
it is bad. We now under the auspices and reigns of number 45 and seemingly he can live above the law.
Yeah.
Mm. Gas prices, I don't know about y'all, but I get raped at the pumps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, you got quiet right there? Yeah. Don't bother you, huh? You can't turn the TV on now and look at a decent show in mixed company.
Amen.
Y'all ain't gonna say amen.
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 If they ain't in the bed, they're headed toward the bed. They're coming out of the bed.
Amen.
Every TV show now, then they gotta have a homosexual couple.
Amen.
If this makes you comfortable, you ain't a child of God.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but even then, I just have to turn TV off.
Yeah.
And you know, I get teased about watching sports, where at least in sports, all I've got the clothes on.
That's right, Pastor. Yeah.
That's getting corrupt, too. We wonder now, maybe you can understand why Grandma would always say, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm traveling through. Y'all ain't never heard Grandma talk about that. Grandma would say, I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. I'm traveling through this land, this barren land. We can't get too comfortable. It's temporary. We extend a Christian invitation.